Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Praise the Lord. God bless you, beloved. I'm so glad you're able to join me for the broadcast today. And I would like to continue on in a message, Serpents of the Soul. We were looking at a few verses found in Numbers, the 21st chapter, and not only looking at what God did in the history of Israel, but also to see what lessons, what examples we can learn to apply to our own lives. Let me just share those couple of verses that we've been looking at. And this is referring to the children of Israel, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And of course, when that happened, there were enough people dying all around them that they thought, well, you know, maybe we made a mistake here. And so they went to Moses. They said, "We've sinned." And in answer, and to bring healing and deliverance, Moses created that bronze serpent that whoever looked upon that serpent, that's a type of Christ, would be healed. And so the plague was stayed. But the important thing is there is a process that occurs when discouragement sets in. And we have to be very careful. The adversary of our soul stops at nothing to get us discouraged, to keep our eyes looking at the circumstances, to just focus on the discomforts and the unpleasantness of whatever we're going through, whether it's natural surroundings or circumstances or people we have to deal with or a job. A boss that just makes life miserable for you. We tend to get discouraged. And when we do that process, it starts with, you know, that discouragement. There's a lack of spiritual understanding. In their case, they started rebelling. They started complaining against God and against Moses. They lost sight of the fact that they were in a journey and they were headed to the promised land. And of course, They were despising the dealings of God. And sometimes God does allow tests in our lives so that He will see what is in our hearts. And we looked at the scripture. Remember, there's that found in James, the 3rd chapter, verse 6, where the Word talks about the tongue being a fire, a world of iniquity. And of course, those were fiery serpents, representative of what happens when we let our tongue just go without control and we give vent to the anger and the hate and the frustration of things that are going on within our hearts. It says in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So what do we see? We see God gave the fruit of their doings to Israel. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and much of Israel died. And beloved, it's our attitudes far more than our words that allows the serpent, the enemy of our souls, to bring death and great destruction to our spiritual progress, as well as the attainment of the blessings of God. Our inheritance, just like for the children of Israel, it's the blessings, the promises of God. For them, it was the land of Canaan, and Canaan represents for us all the blessings and all the promises of God. And if we allow the fiery serpent of the enemy to cause a discouragement and complaining, and to give vent to that complaining, well, it brings destruction. That next step, we see that process, that progression, is a lack of faith. And our lack of faith, our response to the circumstances of our lives, beloved, that does affect our relationship with the Lord. It affects our relationship with others. If you see people that are just constantly in a bad mood, they're always angry, they're always negative, well, you can be sure that their relationship with the Lord isn't what it should be, if they're Christians, that is. And of course, those that aren't, well, then they have a reason to be that way because they don't know the Lord. So the central issue, beloved, is a lack of faith. Listen to what the Word says in Psalm 78, verse 40 through 41. How oft, speaking of the children of Israel, how oft did they provoke him, that's the Lord, in the wilderness, and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. When we think of what Jesus endured, remember, he was in the wilderness. He had great temptations after his 40-day fast. And remember what Satan said to him in Matthew, the 4th chapter, verse 6? He said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. And Jesus responded, quoting Deuteronomy 6:16, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted him in Massah. And that Hebrew word is necha, to test, to prove, to try. And I'd like to turn now to Exodus, the 17th chapter, verse 6. And let me just read it. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou, speaking to Moses, shall smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? So we see that, you know, that it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to question God's dealings with us or his presence with us. Let me turn to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and there's some telling verses there. And in verse 2, the Word begins by saying, and thou shalt remember all the way, this is Moses speaking, which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Listen, this was God's purpose, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and waters, a fountain and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. And he goes on describing Canaan. And so that reminds us, doesn't it? It did me, of Hebrews 12 and 5, where the writer says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. To chasten means to correct by punishment or suffering, to discipline. And in Job 36:21, the Word says, take heed, turn not to iniquity, for this, which was the iniquity of complaining against God, you have chosen rather than submission in affliction. That was where Job, that was the lesson Job was learning. And so, beloved, you might find yourself in a very difficult place today, but just remember, don't complain. Keep your relationship with the Lord pure and right. You know, in Ephesians, the 5th chapter in verse 18 and 21, we're reminded that we should be in the process of being continually filled with the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And that scripture says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. So what that scripture is telling us, that we will walk in the Spirit if we do three things. If we have a song in our heart, if we have a spirit of thanksgiving, as well as a submissive attitude to the Lord and to one another. Oh, beloved, may God give us the grace to walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. That's Ephesians 5:9. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, my beloved, that today is a new day in your walk with me. I would have you to forget the former things and to look for those things that I'm about to do in your behalf. Lo, much effort and striving have not brought forth all your heart has desired, but as you continue to seek my face diligently, desiring to please me and walk according to my word, you shall see me multiply and establish the work of your hands. As you delight yourself in me, I shall give you the desires of your heart. I'm enlarging you to receive more of me, and with that will come increased blessings in your life. Few things give me greater joy than my children's awareness and appreciation of what I have already done for them. Therefore, my beloved, rejoice in my faithfulness and goodness to you. And as you are grateful, I ask you to give out to others of my love. Give what is in your power to do, your concern, your time, your caring and help, that which I would speak to your heart to do. Make a conscious effort each and every day to determine to do this, and as you're obedient to the leading of my Spirit, you shall see those new things that I've reserved for you come into existence. As my word declares, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it, says the Lord. Praise God. Well, with that, I think that's a wonderful way to end the broadcast. Thank you for joining me. I invite you to tune in next time as we share the good things of the Lord. The announcer will give you our contact information. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.